Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Thursday, September the 2nd, 2021. First and foremost, we are one week, Gooch, away from NFL football. The stuff that counts, and it's the stuff that counts even more for me. So whatever the case may be, the Cowboys open up next week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know who won't be opening up today, Chris?
Rutgers football.
Total
buzzkill. I brought my
big buzzkill
day drinking shoes with me today, and it takes a lot for me to work up the guts to go day drink on a weekday. And now that I'm there,
yeah,
I'm feeling the itch. I'm trying to bring Dave out of his coma.
I'm in a slumber right now because look, dude, you don't understand. Like that was like the silver lining through what I went through yesterday. Was like, all right, you know what? Doesn't matter. The Rutgers game is tomorrow. We're excited. We're all gonna go. We're gonna market. We're gonna tailgate. We're gonna hang out with Jimmy Palumbo. We're gonna have all this good fun. And then this storm hits, and it was as I was leaving. So you guys left a little earlier than me. I was here with Ibby recording Till Mets Do Us Part. I'm wrapping up the studio, close the studio, get outside. It's raining, and I'm like, all right, whatever. It's just rain, you know. I got to the highway. It's pretty crappy, and I was like, all right, well, good thing I'm just going to go home and call it a night. And then lo and behold, you know, I'm sitting there watching television, and I'm getting texts from my family group chat, like, that my dad is all of a sudden we sprung some leaks down in the basement, and I'm like, oh, no. And that's, hey, look, we're not – it's not like we have a – bad home, okay? Every house on the planet sprung a leak.
I've been dealing with water in my basement all week.
It's crazy.
It wasn't even raining the other day and I had water.
So I felt like obligated. I, you know, all you're seeing on TV is don't drive. Don't get on the roads. Don't be an idiot. Don't be that guy. Don't be a hero, right? And I'm like, fine, I won't. But then I'm getting constant texts and videos and like how bad it's getting down in my dad's basement, my old room. And I'm like, no, man, there's no way. You know, if there's a way, I can get down there. I can get down there. So here I am, hero ball. You know, like I get in the car. I have my truck, my Silverado. So I'm like, I'm just going to burrow through everything, right? And I got through my town relatively good and easy. But then, I can't even say that. It took me 20 minutes to get out of my town due to all the roads and stuff like that were closed right away and floods and this river's overflowing and this, that, and the third. And then I'm sitting there. I'm sitting there and I get to 287 and the visibility is bad. So like I'm driving like 40 miles an hour. Like it's raining hard. There was one point, bro, where not only there's an underpass. So I'm like, oh, look, some relief in sight, you know, like some relief where I'm going to be like, this is going to be fine. And
that's where all the water settles.
Well, not even that. It settles right after it. So like everybody's hitting their brakes at the underpass, and then I'm like, why are you hitting your brake? And then I look ahead of me and all I see is the middle of everybody's car. I'm like, there's no turning back now. I have to do this. Like I have to just like a rock and just like the commercial. Well, that's the wrong brand of truck.
My mother got stuck for until 1 a.m. in Clark.
I couldn't
get out of the parking lot she was in.
I lost traction. I'm pretty sure I was floating for a second, and there was a car in front of me, like, stopping, and I'm yelling at him, like, keep going. You've already gone too far. Like, keep going, you know? I get there. I'm up till friggin' 3 in the morning doing all that work, and now I get the news on my way down here that the Rutgers game is canceled, and I'm just like, man, like, the one thing I was looking forward to. So that game gets postponed. No day drinking for us. No marketing for us. That game's going to be postponed till later on, I believe Saturday they're calling it, but I can't go. So it doesn't matter to me. As of right now, I can't go. So
I will still be in attendance to the Rutgers game. I'm going to find a way to make it work for Saturday. I don't think I had plans other than
I got nothing. Things. All plans are getting messed up. You know what I mean? Like all my plans on Saturday, I was supposed to have my friend's getting married, and I don't even know if that, you know, that's a thing anymore right now because of all the moving parts.
Well, not that they're not getting married.
No, they're definitely getting married because yeah. It's going to be a beautiful day, but I'm saying like the moving parts of getting there, it's just a mess. It's just a goddamn mess. But anyway, so we're not gonna keep that that negative mojo here for the Rutgers game. I'm sure they'll go out. They were 14-point favorites tonight. Did you know that?
Yeah.
That's a little insane. How bad is Temple?
I guess they're 14 points worse than Rutgers.
Oh, is that how it works?
I don't know much about Temple football. I know that Shiano took a bunch of their guys. I think there was a few transfers from Temple on Rutgers.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that has something to do with them being a little bit worse and Rutgers being a little bit better. But Temple's not really the greatest team. Once in a while, they put out some good players. But shout out to Esh. She's a Temple alum.
Yeah, she's a former Owl. Right? You know what? Also, but like now that my football has been stripped from me tonight, I'm going hard in the paint for Woodbridge Colonia tomorrow. Like, I'm going to be that guy. I don't have a Letterman's jacket. I'm not that guy.
I'm trying to go hard in the paint at MJ's at, like, happy hour.
On a Thursday. My God. I mean, look, as long as we get our stuff done, I don't care what we do. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. I'm even wearing a hoodie. I walked out of the house and I was like, woo,
chill. Today, we kind of like, once I get it in my head, it's like, all right, light day. And then when I go into work on the way in, I'm like, oh, Rutgers is canceled. So me and AJ were talking about it. We're like, we're going to try and pry Dave out of his seat and get him to sit at the bar seat. And we can bring our we can bring our laptops there. They got Wi-Fi.
You know, first of all, you don't have to pry me out of the seat to go to a bar seat. That's not that hard, you don't have to twist my arm that much.
I was going to say MJ's is right down the street. If you really miss the studio that bad,
I can just come back.
Go back.
No big deal. You're absolutely right. So maybe I will get my fix of watching highlights on the bar TVs today. So we'll see. This weather obviously is affecting a lot of stuff. You know, we found out yesterday that the Jacksonville Jaguars will open up their... I'm sorry, no. We'll find out that the New Orleans Saints will open up in Jacksonville to play your Green Bay Packers. The Saints are practicing right now in Fort Worth, which is where Dallas used to play, right in downtown Dallas over there. Now they play in Arlington, but now Dallas, obviously, they practice over at the Star in Frisco. So they're lending them their field there. Does this affect the Saints in any way? I mean, it was already going to be tough sledding, I think.
I think it does affect the Saints, obviously.
No more dome.
Because there's no more home game. There's right. No dome. I know that every stadium has been waiting to have fans for how long now? So I would imagine that their home opener was going to be a wild scene. It would have just made it a little bit more difficult. I got a message from the resident Saints fan in Shop Sports. Craig sent me a message saying, the Packers GM is a piece of shit, and I wonder why Rodgers wants to leave so bad. I would imagine that has something to do with them not wanting to play the game in Texas, the Packers.
Really?
I'm not sure because you...
No, they had it. Here's the thing. The concert that they have set up, when you book a concert in Texas, you get...
That's true.
You get the venue for a week. So the concert's not on that Sunday.
Are the Texans home?
That's Houston.
But it's still in Texas.
That's true.
So it's my point. Being that they're in Arlington, I think that the Saints are a little upset that it's turning into basically a road game because they're practicing in Dallas. They should be, or Arlington, they should essentially be able to play the game in Dallas so they don't have to travel the week of. So now
I would say that should be your home field advantage. The fact you don't have to travel.
Yeah, and Houston
for the
is
game.
Relatively close to.
I mean, so it's a 3 hour. Orleans, it's actually so a 3 hour. Still, it's like a 3 hour flight.
But still, it's Houston and New Orleans?
Oh, no.
Houston and New Orleans are relatively close. So you would imagine that would be the ideal situation. But I don't know if Houston's even playing at home week one.
I don't know.
They have to be because they play Jacksonville, who couldn't be home week one.
What a bunch of moving parts.
I just figured it all out, guys.
I was like, problem
GM
solved.
Is apparently not a scumbag for anything to do with that, but he's probably still a scumbag.
I heard, Woodbridge turns into an island, says somebody. That had to be about what I was talking about as far as the rain is considered. Bro, I saw some videos, man. And shout out to like all the people that weathered this and an unfortunate turn of events. Like, people were just giving up on their cars.
Shout out to Optimum Online for not kicking my internet out in the middle.
There you
go.
We have internet here today.
My draft, like the lights flicked a little bit.
Oh, that's right. You did an auction draft.
I did an auction draft yesterday.
How was that experience?
I think I did well. I have the highest projection. I'm not going to talk about my team because that's just not allowed here, but it went well. I didn't finish with a dollar. I think the major rule everyone says is
you have to spend all your money.
And I had all my money spent when people still needed like 7 or 8 picks. So I did well. I didn't have to worry about the scraps. I made one mistake, and you know
what was the mistake?
Well, two mistakes. I missed out on my guys, but I settled for Nick Chubb. So that's a mistake.
That's a settle.
Yeah, where I was headed with
it. You wanted Aaron Jones or something?
My thoughts on Chubb going into the year.
Okay,
but it worked out because I got him at a great steal, and then I accidentally drafted Mike Williams. So I'm just going to drop him because I hate him. I don't.
How much
him.
Did you pay for Mike Williams?
$2, but still, okay.
I got to get into one of those. It seemed interesting. And anyway, if you guys didn't know, this is Sturch and that's Gooch. And, of course, AJ Best going behind the glass. We got right into it today. A couple podcasts dropped today. I'm Your Football Team and Till Mets Do Us Part. We'll get into the Mets in a second. But I do want to say that if you go on the Chop Sports Facebook page, which you're probably most of you are watching this now, either on my Facebook or the Chop Sports Facebook page, get over there. One of the announcements is Scoop Espo running a survivor pool. He's up to about 25 people for the NFL survivor pool. So go over there and check that out. He actually, he texted me.
What was it, $20 to enter?
I don't even know. I didn't even look.
I'll be joining.
Or 0.20 units.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know how much it was, but I do know that it's rocking and rolling. There's a lot of people a lot of people doing it over there. So they're getting involved with that.
Maybe we'll try and do some type of free entry
something.
Prize thing that we'll do something else, but it'll be for like a point spread thing. So look for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So moving on, just a little baseball news. There's a couple things that really popped off yesterday. The Jets general manager, Zach Scott, was arrested for a DWI.
Mets.
With the Jets or the Mets?
Did I say Jets?
You did.
All right. I'm on football.
Dave
football.
Needs a beer.
Football.
Dave needs a beer. And I'm Dave putting, you like how I put Dave on the spot on air today? Where I came in and said it, and I was like, oh, try to gauge the temperature of the room and see where Dave was as far as the happy hour idea. And he was like, oh, no. And now I'm just not going to shut up about it on air. And he's going to bring him out of his cave. I feel it.
I just, like I said, it's been a long, long night, man. So the Mets GM, Zach Scott, arrested DWI. This team, ever since Uncle Steve-O bought the team, it's been in complete disarray as far as front office.
It has nothing to do with...
They were great
under the Wilpons.
Everybody hated the Wilpons. That was known, right? And that was one of those things where it's like they couldn't wait till that team sold, and they'd be fine. But now, like, you think Uncle Steve's coming in, right? And it's going to change the culture, change everything. Within like a cup of coffee, somebody got busted for sending bad texts or something like that, right? That was early. And now this. So like the Mets got to clear house, like, or at least Steve Cohen has to clear house.
I'm all
get
for it.
Rid of all these people that are making your franchise look bad, because you know what? The longer these guys stick around, the longer the stain will be on the Mets, where everybody's gonna be like, you will always be the little brother to the New York Yankees. Not just so much for success, but for the fact that like the Yankees don't get in trouble. The Yankees don't have headlines like this. The Mets do constantly. So this is why Cohen needs to make a move.
I got to see more of the guy's track record. If he's got one mistake, I know it's a big mistake, and it's a pretty much a really bad time for the Mets. Yeah. Just
really
tailspin as it is, as far as the media goes, the thumbs down thing, the fan base is in disarray. Their chants are going through the stadium that they want Rojas fired. I like Sandy Alderson. I learned yesterday that he wasn't the GM when I read this news. I thought he was the GM. Apparently, he's the team president now.
How many?
I do think he's a decent.
This is why
he's
so. Go
ahead. But it's hard, man. It's hard. I don't know the guy. I've never even seen him. I would like to say you might want to give him a second chance, but it might not be the right fit for the Mets at this point, because they got to have a culture change. And a guy like that trying to change the culture, he's not really doing his part.
As the resident Mets guy, they absolutely need to clear house.
Are you making yourself the resident Mets guy?
Well, I mean...
Ibby?
Well, I'm in the studio right now. Yeah, I'm definitely the resident Mets guy out of you guys. You hate them.
I don't hate the Mets. Let the record show. I do not hate the Mets. My dad is a Mets fan. So I actually openly hope they do well and get it all right. But right now, they look very bad news.
When you talk about the Mets, I don't get the same feeling, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. I feel like you dislike them.
Yeah. No, I don't dislike the Mets at all.
Okay, respect.
I dislike guys doing DWIs. I dislike
certain Met fans, but I don't have really any particular issue with the Mets.
No, I don't have an issue with the Mets. I just I do hope they do well, specifically for the people that I care about. I'm not saying I care about AJ, but I'm just saying like there's people that I care about, like my family and friends. AJ's my friend, so yeah, I'll give you the rub on that one. But they just have to get it right at this point. You know, they're falling out of favor in the record, in the standings, but now you find yourself 5 games out of first place, and all of a sudden people are starting to like look like raise their eyebrows again. Like, could this be? Could we make a run? Like the Mets?
No, they can't.
The Mets are in a better situation than the Yankees as far as division is concerned. That's the truth. That's by record. Yeah, that's where we're at.
Well, that has nothing to do with.
In terms of total playoffs,
they're not in a better situation than the Yankees at all in terms of how the team is playing and the division.
I'm just saying,
I understand what you're saying, but the division, the Yankees right now are in position to make the postseason. The Mets are.
Do you consider that playoff game, that one playoff game, making the postseason? I hate that.
Abso-fucking-lutely, I
hate that. If you're in a series, you've made the postseason. Well, that one game stuff, that to me is not the postseason.
You want to know why it's the postseason to me? Because the way it's mic'd up on the field and the crowd noise and everything that comes with that game is playoff baseball to me. When you watch that game, that's playoff energy all day long. And honestly, I think in some cases winning that game kind of catapults your team in, because you get this game seven situation. You get this immediately. You immediately get playoff experience, like the hardcore playoff game seven experience right away. If you win that game, it kind of catapults you into the next series. And the only drawback is you usually have to pitch your best starter. So you go into the series down your one.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that, like, if it's – so if the Yankees are in that playoff game, does that mean Gerrit Cole is the guy?
It better fucking be.
But then all of a sudden you're looking at number one. I mean, you're looking at game one of whatever series you get into, the ALDS, and it's not Gerrit Cole.
It is what it is. I mean, ideally we would like to catch Tampa, but they're 39 games up, and they haven't lost in 4 months. So yeah, there's no way we're going to catch Tampa. So we just got to fucking deal with what we got and tailor our, I would say, fix the rotation for the postseason at this point, but we're not in the postseason, so we can't really do that. You got to go play to win the games. But final week, if we have a spot locked up, obviously, we want that game at home. I don't think it might get locked up until the final 3 days of the season, right? That's the way it's going right now.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But the Mets have to do something as far as a culture standpoint is concerned. If they make the postseason, it will have to be winning the NL East. Is it possible? Sure, it's out there. We'll see. If they catch fire at the right time, which the right time is running out of time, and it's September now, so now's the time to do it. AJ, you brought up something interesting that I did not hear about. Maybe I just gazed over it because I'm tired of looking over COVID stuff because it's just annoying at this point. But according to AJ, who wrote this on the update, I mean on the rundown here, the Brooklyn Nets, the Golden State Warriors, and the New York Knicks cannot play in home games unless they're vaccinated. So all of a sudden, there is a vaccine mandate within a professional sport. That is where I draw the goddamn line, bro. Like, this is not good look for any of these. And I'm a Knicks fan. This is not a good look for the New York Knicks. I don't care where you live or what situation you're in or how high the rate is at this time. Like, no, man. No.
The reason why I don't think it has a bad look on the Knicks or the teams involved is because it's the politicians that are mandating.
Correct.
It's not like the Knicks are saying, like, look, you got... Otherwise, it would just be a Knicks thing. They wouldn't be allowed to play on the road either. You know what I'm saying? So
correct.
It's really the politicians. I don't think it has much to do with the franchises. It is unfortunate. I think it strips people of their choice. I don't want to get into the COVID situation, but it's also a little bit away. I know the NBA season is going to start up sooner than we're used to after the offseason because...
Was late October, early November? Is that how it goes?
I think it starts in mid-October, right around Halloween. But they might have pushed it back a week because of the way... I know the last 2 years have been a little shaky because of the bubble situation with the original COVID deal. But
today, I believe, is the anniversary of the first game that was played in the bubble.
We'll see how things shake out. They might lift these things in a month. Who knows? I can't really see it going in that direction because it seems to be going in the opposite direction. More and more restrictions, but you never know. In a month from now, maybe we see these things change.
Yeah, maybe.
October 19th, the NBA season kicks off.
All right. So you got a couple months to get right, New York, and hopefully things are, you know, relatively get back to normal where they should be. So... I don't know. It's all annoying to me. You also wrote, back to football, Cam Newton. Now, I saw something online yesterday. Cam Newton, I guess, was in that barbershop or whatever it's called. I retweeted it. Whatever it's called.
Was that interview or was it?
That was actually on Brandon Marshall's.
Yeah, okay, fine. So they both have
that the one where Odell was next to him too, where they were talking about? I've made fun of this interview for 2 years.
Wait, no, it's brand new. I think.
I don't think it was.
That was from last year.
I think it was, but prior. Oh,
so
to
prior
last
to him
season.
Signing.
Yeah,
to
it was the when Patriots. It was when nobody would sign him. It was before he signed with New England.
He said he goes that there. He is not like basically. See, I was wrong then because I thought that was a recent interview after his release because
but still,
now he's in the same situation.
Still, it's the exact same thing. And
sorry, 1 year later.
Sorry to break it to you, Cam, but
there are 32 people better than you.
There might be 42. There might be 52.
Right.
And with
that's such a false statement. When a team, technically, if a team is employing a first string quarterback, he is technically better than Cam Newton.
Yeah. Now, you want to have Cam Newton to have that mentality. If you bring him into camp, you want him to feel like he's good enough to be the starter. But at the same time, that could create a malcontent situation if he actually believes that he's better than the starter and he takes that attitude in there where he feels like he should be given something.
Yeah,
I don't think Cam is going to get an opportunity to start in the league again unless there's an injury on a team that he's already on.
All right, so I raise the question, Cam, does he land anywhere this year?
Yes.
Even as in a backup role?
I could imagine him eventually taking a paycheck and landing somewhere.
What's up, AJ? You got some...
There's sound. I think there's sound from another room.
Yeah.
Like yeah, somebody's doing some
bang,
kind of
bang, boom, boom.
It's all good. It's you know, at but this point...
Cam, I think Cam will end up somewhere. Where? I don't know. I think his best bet would probably be to wait and see who gets hurt. But the problem with that is if you might miss your opportunity. You know, right
by waiting?
Now, by waiting, yeah. There might be a team that was looking to sign him right now, and if he's like, no, that's not the right fit.
Yeah, why isn't Houston come banging on the door? Considering the fact that they already like went on record and said that they're not even going to address Deshaun Watson.
I think that there's something to be said for the fact that, A, I don't think Cam is good, right? So is Cam...
Is
Cam going to go in there and make the Texans a better team? I don't think so. He didn't really show much with his arm. The team doesn't have the weapons. It's like New England, but 10 times worse,
right?
Honestly.
That is
so
true.
If you're a bad team right now and quarterback is your problem, Cam isn't really a solution to make you win more games and make you a viable contender. So why spend the money? Why not just ride it out
and get a better draft
pick? Or just maybe you sign Cam for the better draft pick. Who knows?
You sign Cam Newton to lose games, actually. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it remains to be seen. Like you said, it could take an injury. It could take, something catastrophic to happen to one of these marquee quarterbacks for Cam Newton to land on a roster. But he's out there.
And you saw Dallas sign some...
Yeah, no-name, Will Greer.
Some no-name quarterback.
He's not a no-name. He's a stud.
I think that his claim to fame at this point is the guy that Dallas used to let the public know that they were not going to sign Cam.
That because is literally
as soon
like...
As Cam got released, you saw all the Dallas headlines, oh, Dallas is kicking the tires on Cam Newton. Yeah, because every NFL GM kicks the tires on every available player. Otherwise, absolutely, you're not doing your job. But a day later, they signed some Willie Greer.
Will Greer,
like a quarterback
from Carolina.
On a movie, right?
You know who Cowboys also signed yesterday? Corey Clement. Okay, crickets on that one. Corey Clement, former Giant and Eagle. And
I was thinking the defensive Clement.
No, Clement, the running back.
Corey Clement, running back. So yeah,
special teams guy.
Yeah.
We don't have a kick returner, so that could be a solve. Okay. Anyway.
He'll fair catch every punt and not fumble them.
Catch him. Just catch him. To me, at this point, as a Cowboy fan,
I think
the biggest line in my household during a Cowboy game is hold on to the ball, asshole.
Yeah, I think kick returner and punt returner is potentially the most underrated, when you have a good one, it's such a weapon that other teams don't get to have.
I know.
It's such an advantage. I remember Desmond Howard days, Devin Hester, so you good. Like you got prime time, but
yeah, Deion's
a kick returner will change the game 100%.
Field position is everything. So
I'm not saying Corey Clement.
Clement's Deion by any stretch, and I'm not saying they should call him prime time anytime soon, but you never know, right? All right, AJ, it's time to catch everybody up on some baseball that went down yesterday. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I'll give you a spoiler. The Yankees won a baseball game after that losing streak comes to a close. Gerrit Cole is our stopgap. That's why you pay this guy the big bucks to get there, pitch a gem. AJ, tell them all about it.
All right, so we're here with the Curtis Sells House's sports update. For all your realty needs, make sure to hit up Curtis Count. As you can see in the first game, and as Dave explained, the Yankees whipped the Angels 4-1. Cole fans 15, and that one looks absolutely dominant. The Cardinals and the Reds go into a doubleheader, and the Cardinals win the first game of the series 5-4, but the Reds are able to smack them in the second game 12-2. Arizona Diamondbacks host the San Diego Padres, and they get another home victory over the visiting Padres 8-3. Mariners have an absolute eyewear shutout against the Houston Astros. Astros had 9 hits, but despite that, could not register a run. Mariners win that game 1-0. The Blue Jays and the Orioles got into a highly competitive game yesterday, but ultimately, the Blue Jays were able to come away with that one 5-4. Let's head over to Tampa Bay, where the unstoppable Tampa Bay Rays have indeed lost the game. That is breaking news, people. The Red Sox were somehow able to beat them 3-2. The Athletics lose a surprising one to Miguel Cabrera and the Tigers, as Miguel Cabrera hits his 500 second career home run. Tigers win that one 8-6. And then let's head to Chicago, where the White Sox were able to handle the Pirates with relative ease, 6-3. Brewers beat up on the Giants, 5-2. They knocked them from the top spot in the NL. And then the Dodgers get a nice victory against the Braves. Scherzer leaves after 6, and they're able to rally in that one, 4-3. That is your AJ Sports update.
Appreciate you, brother. Got some not breaking news. This was actually tweeted a long time ago. Gio Urshela hurt his hand on a double play. He's told day-to-day, he's an off day. Like, this kid, he can't stay on the field either. My God, speaking of that. But you also, there's another injury, but the Red Sox, the reeling Red Sox. How crazy. Right before you left yesterday, remember we were talking about the Red Sox? We were watching the Michael Kay show, and I'm like sitting there, I'm like, dude, the Red Sox are down, like, a lot of games. Yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays.
They've dropped like 20 games.
That's insane to me. And it doesn't help because Xander Bogaerts lands on the COVID list. For Boston, so I don't know if that's going to start, you know, trickling in and running.
I actually
rampant.
Hope Boston could claw their way into that wild card, that second wild card, so we could play them and not Oakland.
I mean, you have this, you and I have this. You know, I know that others have claimed that we disagree a lot, right? But this is where we completely like disagree. Give me the worst team on their worst day to play the Yankees.
Yeah,
I don't want the Boston Red Sox because that rivalry is too much for it to feel like, no matter if the Red Sox lost 30 games in a row going into that wild card game, they will play up to the Yankees and it'll make my heart putter the entire time.
That's what it's all about, baby.
I know you
give
love
me the
it.
Yankees,
I don't love
Red
it.
Sox in
I
a game seven
it.
Setting, one game playoff. Give me that all day.
No
Yankees
way.
Have good history against the Red Sox in a one game playoff.
Listen, stats probably don't lie, and I get that. But like, I can't do it.
Wanting to play the worst team. Check out the Red Sox record since All-Star
Yes,
break.
They're the worst team. But as I said, even if they lose 30 straight terrible. Going into there, I still don't want to play the Red Sox. Give me somebody else.
I also have a note for AJ's update.
Oh, okay.
The Cardinals and the Rednals, that was probably a good game. did you pick up on you call them the Rednals?
No, but the Rednals apparently are going to be the new franchise in Cincinnati. They're changing their name. The Reds are an offensive name to, you know, the primary colors, so that'll be changed as well.
AJ, take a joke to another place and deliver it fucking home.
AJ's starting to get mad just like I am, bro. This is a somber, somber day. We need to get our spirits lifted. I don't know.
Maybe if we talk about the Lions, we'll all feel better about ourselves because I'm looking at this picture of DeAndre Swift and he already looks hurt.
So first, we're going to take a little bit of a break today. As a matter of fact, if you got the time to stick around during a live show, we're doing not only one but two teams today to make sure we catch up to speed. Not like we missed any days or anything like that, but we are going to do today a combo episode of one, Detroit Lions, and two, the Minnesota Vikings. So two previews, one day. We'll do it after the break. Coming right back. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
Bow, chicka, wow, wow.
And we're back. That was an interesting break. Welcome back to the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Thursday. It is September the 2nd, 2021. We continue our 32 teams and 32-day coverage with two bangers, okay? And it's brought to you by Absolute Eyewear. Even that's another thing, man. I was talking to Janine yesterday, bro. We're all excited about drinking together, and now I can't even see them. Like, I'm just so mad right now that we can't go tailgate tonight. Anyway.
They could come to MJ's.
Oh, my God, with MJ's already. Absolute Eyewear on Main Street, New Jersey. I'm pretty sure they didn't get drowned or flooded or anything like that. So they're there. They're standing. If you go over there and check them out, they are offering $100. $100 off any lenses, frames, all the, they're just a one-stop shop, guys. Go check out Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge on Main Street, right next to the train station. As a matter of fact, she sent me a picture of the garbage can that's outside the Dunkin' Donuts. Remember I said it's right next to the Dunkin' Donuts? that Dunkin' Donuts is still there on the garbage can. Chop Sports sticker.
I already know who did it.
Uh-oh, who was it?
It's a Joey D sighting for sure.
Joey D just slapping stickers everywhere. Guerrilla marketing,
baby. He's the only one that has an insane amount of Chop Sports stickers because he's the one that got them. When we first opened the studio up, Joe, and we had the logo made, ended up buying a roll of stickers.
That's right.
He has them in his car, and when he pulls up to a drive-thru, he smacks it on the...
What a good
everywhere,
guy,
bro.
What a good guy. I love Joe.
He also beat my fucking ass in tennis.
I know. Bro. How you feeling now the day after?
I feel fine. I feel, honestly, I'm not sore at all. Good I was a you. Little bit just tight yesterday, but today I'm good to go, baby. I need another sesh.
All right.
Tennis sesh.
The Detroit Lions are on the clock for the 2022 NFL draft. Now, in all seriousness, this team looks like it's as advertised. And when I say as advertised, I mean really bad. New head coach, Dan Campbell, biting off kneecaps, all that stuff. You know, he's a cool guy.
Is he?
I don't know.
I don't get.
I
don't know.
I'm saying that his players.
Wait,
are
timeout. So you're saying you don't like the fact that a coach went in there and said, I'm going to bite some kneecaps off. I'm going to crush somebody.
No.
But you are over there yesterday saying you like when Jameis Winston licks his own fingers.
Here's the thing. Jameis Winston's a player. This guy's a coach.
And used to be a player.
Not that he's a coach. I have no problem with the coach doing those things. I kind of have a problem with the head coach doing those things. Like he seems like he'd make a great offensive line coach.
I think he was.
Great position.
Coach, he used to be a position coach,
but he's definitely not head coach material in my book. And it's a very Detroit Lions thing to hire him.
Yeah,
and we'll see how this plays out.
Start off the top.
He doesn't have a good opportunity though.
You know, no, he does not.
Some money, but
he's coming into a very. Tricky situation, and it's led by his brand new quarterback. Talk about a gift. You know, talk about a gift when you first get there. Welcome to Detroit. We're trading Matt Stafford and giving you Jared Goff. Good luck. That sucks. Like, listen, I've always said it. Jared Goff was like one of those serviceable game manager type, Alex Smith-esque, you know, just like get it done.
Yeah, Goff is good. He's accurate. He's a good player. He's definitely a starter in the league.
He ain't Matt Stafford.
He's a starter in the league, but he's a back-end starter, and he needs some pieces. He had a pretty decent statistical season in his one good year with the Rams when they had Gurley popping off. But other than that, Goff, he's had the pieces around him, and he hasn't really produced to the level you'd like to see a number one pick produce.
So now he doesn't have the pieces around him. Let's see how good he does this year because his running backs, DeAndre Swift, I feel like, you know, a kid who can't get off the ground yet, literally and figuratively. I feel like once he goes down, he stays down. He's a little injury riddled.
Swag daddy, yeah. Jamal Williams.
Jamal Williams, I'm a fan of. I am a fan of Jamal Williams. I feel like he'll get a decent sized chunk of the carries. AJ, the other day they cut Perriman, right?
They did cut Perriman, yes. Perriman, he's now a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, so now the receivers are led by Tyrell Williams, Khalif Raymond and Amon Ra St. Brown. Holy hell. I mean, Jesus.
And I'm pretty sure they're not even trying. They're not even
trying. Huh? What? What about the pup?
Saint Brown might be on the pup list. I don't know. I saw St. Brown news today, but it might have been something about his brother signing to the Packers practice squad.
You know, Sonny from the Bronx Tale was the guy to say, you know, there's nothing sadder in the world than wasted talent. TJ Hockenson is wasted talent, man. Like, he's supposed to be good, and we're not going to find that out anytime soon because, A, another one who kind of can't see, like, stay on the field injury-wise. He's also listed as questionable already, and the season hasn't even started yet. This offense is in disarray, man. I mean, like, they're... The only guy I like on his offense is their backup quarterback, David Blough. I like him. I don't know why. I saw a special on him where I think his wife was in the Olympics and he was like rooting for her and like they filmed him rooting for her. It was a cool feel-good story. But outside of that, there's not much feel-good here on the Detroit offensive side of the ball.
Hockenson and Tyrell Williams are the only guys that I'm even remotely interested in at the right point in a draft. I would take Tyrell Williams in like the 15th round. Late round flyer if nobody else is there.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Jake Devlin.
Yeah, so the Lions the under. Whatever so, it yeah. is, it's under.
Detroit is over under 5 wins. I think they, I'm not even, look, their defense, Jamie Collins Sr., maybe okay. Boy.
Just stop, Dave.
Jeff Okuda, sure.
Just stop.
I mean, AJ Parker. I don't know.
As a whole, their unit is not worth mentioning. They're not going to stop anybody, which is the only reason why Goff might have some decent games because he'll probably have to throw the ball 7,000 times. We'll see what their skeleton crew offense looks like after one
or
two.
Do we even bother looking
down
at their schedule?
We might as well just bring it up.
All right, bring up their schedule, AJ's especially because
like,
AJ did all the work,
no
so
reason.
let's bring it up here. They have, look at that, it even looks smaller as far as like nobody cares about it. They cared more about the Lions graphic itself than the actual context of the schedule.
Just a warning, guys, this one goes down. And then
I'm looking on a website right now, so don't even worry about it. The graphic's great and all, but I usually can't see that far. That's why I got to go to Absolute Eyewear very soon. They start their year off San Fran, Green Bay, Baltimore, Chicago, Minnesota, Cincinnati. I can't find any wins yet. Maybe Cincinnati might be one of those games where it's like, okay, snooze fest, we'll see. But I like Cincinnati's offense, so I don't know about that one. Maybe this would be so poetic if they can get their first win of the season on Halloween night against the Eagles, or Halloween day against the Eagles. So trick or treat, Detroit's here, we get the win. But after that, there's a bye, and it's Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Chicago again, Minnesota, Denver will be good, Arizona. They end the year, my God, they end the year hosting the Green Bay Packers.
How about that?
The Packers in the last game of the year get to January
the
football.
The Packers will be resting their starters.
Well, I'm saying, even if they didn't have to, let's just say they're playing for the one seed, right? Look, what a situation for the Packers to be in, to play in a dome in January. Like, yeah. Boy, oh boy, is that
against,
nice.
Against a fucking Bishop Sycamore.
Yeah.
Very true. Very, very true.
Over under on win total, bruv.
All right. Over under is 5. I can give him. Oh, boy. This is one. I'll give him Philly just to be a Dallas fan. And I'll give him 1 against the Bears, maybe. I'll give him 2 wins.
Okay.
I'll stick with 2. 2-15, which might be the lock for me for number 1 pick next year. What do you think, Gooch?
I don't think they're going to win a fucking game.
Think they're going to be not only the first.
I think there's a chance that if it wasn't for the Texans getting to play Jacksonville twice, I think there would be a chance, and I still think there is a potential chance for 2 teams to finish 0-17 this year. I don't know that the Texans have what it takes to beat anybody. And as I look at this fucking roster, I mean,
it doesn't give you much hope.
And
that's
their head
sure.
coach. I'm going to refrain from saying the words because I'll definitely get canceled, but he just doesn't seem well, we'll say. He doesn't seem like he's stable.
Oh, man.
So combine all those issues with the fact that they have a losing culture. It's almost like a win for the fan base to go 0-17, if that makes sense. Like, they embrace sucking so bad.
They've done it already.
They're in another rebuild. Here we go again. Detroit.
Giving a pass to Campbell based off this roster? Like, if they do go 0-17, doesn't that make you think like you gotta fire this guy?
It's almost like they're just trying to be bad. I don't necessarily. I give the pass to Campbell on the strength of like he
for
should
1 year
be hired to begin with. So it's like, all right, give the guy a break. He's not supposed to be there anyway. That's the pass I give him.
Okay,
I'm not saying that he gets to for his sake or for the Lions fans' sake. I hope. To God, I mean, I shouldn't say for his sake, that he doesn't make it past this season because I just don't see it out of him. But I could be wrong. I never am.
AJ, what do you got over? So I got 2. Gucci is going to just, you want to go bold
and
go
0-17?
I've been
fucking giving it to these teams all season.
I know
season,
you have. You have been pretty harsh. But anyway, AJ, what do you got?
Now. I thought I was going to get to be the bold one. I also have the Lions as 0-17 this year.
Oh, come on.
No, listen, they're not only going to be the first team to be 0-17, but they're going to be the first team to have 2 seasons where they're 0-4. This team sucks. They're garbage. Not winning crap.
All right. Moving on to the Minnesota Vikings, because that actually has some merit and they have some skilled players.
This is a team that could make the playoffs and also be in the top 10.
Yeah, well, that's where AJ made his bold prediction a couple days ago about the Minnesota Vikings, so I'm interested to see where he goes with that. But their offense is good. As we start with the Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins is one of those guys where it's just like, you know, will he, won't he show up? You know, he has a couple big games here and there. He's the first quarterback to get that fully guaranteed contract, which I believe is ending soon. So if not even this year, I don't know his contract situation. But Cousins, you know, he's middle of the pack as far as like probably like number 16, 17 quarterback in the league, maybe even lower.
What?
Lower? Higher?
Yes.
Yeah, you think
yes.
so? Oh, boy. All right.
Way lower.
All right. Well, thank goodness they have one of the best running backs in football in Dalvin Cook. Behind him, even Alexander Mattison, one of those really good supplemental backs in the league, even if Cook is banged up because of the volume. Cousins gets to throw it to a lot of good receivers, Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. I know you don't like Adam Thielen, but I love him. KJ Osborne listed here. Dede Westbrook, former Jaguar. Chad Beebe is on the IR, but he is the son of Don Beebe. And I'm pretty sure Blake Prohl is the son of Ricky Prohl, which is like, how many sons do they have over here? The tight end situation is where they kind of yikes because of the fact that they lost Irv Smith Jr., what they had planned for him. So they're right now they're starting to sliding in Tyler Conklin, and then the acquisition of Chris Herndon from the Jets. I don't know how much of a role he could play right off the rip, but yeah. So I mean that's their offensive line is relatively okay. Garrett Bradbury is a really good center. I like him, but that's really all I'll say about the offensive line. The
offensive line is definitely their Achilles heel offensively. Mm-hmm. Combine that with the fact that Kirk Cousins trips over his own feet twice a game.
True.
That's really where the offense is going to sputter. They're going to win some games because they do have talent on the at the receiver position. Dalvin Cook is all-world player. He's been known to get hurt down the stretch. I'm not rooting for a Dalvin Cook injury, or am I? Uh-huh. I don't have him in any fantasy league, so fuck Dalvin Cook this year. I still have three drafts, but there's no way I get him, just the way it shakes out, so I already know.
How many leagues are you in?
Six.
You're crazy.
But, yeah, their offense is okay.
What is happening at the studio today, by the way? You feeling all this?
I am feeling
it.
Yeah, I am
buffering the floor somewhere? Like,
did you see me checking out the window?
Yeah, but it ain't the window. It's under my feet.
I thought it was raining again. I thought it was thunder.
Oh, God. No, it's beautiful. Anyway, not thunder, bro. Keep going with the Vikings.
Yeah, I don't like the Vikings.
All right. With that being said, no. Then you have their defensive side of the ball, which is, look, they have a defensive-minded coach. I do like Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer is the defensive coordinator for the champion Dallas Cowboys back in 92, 93, 95. So he's a defensive-minded coach. I like him. Their defensive line is relatively good. They do run a base 4-3, so do two defensive tackles in the middle, Pearson Tomlinson. Daniel Hunter, just all world. I think he's really good. Hunter's very legit. Their linebackers, I've always been a big fan of Eric Kendricks. I wanted Anthony Barr very badly for the Cowboys back when he was drafted. Bashard Breeland at the corner. Other corner, Patrick Peterson. The ageless wonder.
He's washed.
All right, so he's washed. One of my favorites in the league, Harrison Smith. He just got a new contract.
I think big time money. I think that's probably a shitty contract for the franchise.
4 years, 60 mil.
I understand giving it to the guy, but this is the NFL. It's such a business, and that's a bad move. You don't give a guy on that side of 30 that deal unless there's some parameters where they have an out, but I don't think they're really doing that with him. He seemed really, really happy after he signed it, and I can't imagine that they would have negotiated some outs for the Vikings.
They do have also former Dallas Cowboy Xavier Woods. Very good tackler, not a really good cover guy, but it is what it is. Bring up their schedule, AJ, as we cover the Minnesota Vikings as we fly through this. See, this is so here's the thing with them. Oh, this one's colorful. Starting off with Cincinnati and Arizona, there's a possibility that you can go into your home opener 2-0. You definitely can rip off two wins there, I think. But the schedule itself, their division, to play Detroit, you get two wins there. The Chicago, you at least split there. You'll probably get swept by the Packers. So within the division, you probably go 3-3. You know, the other division they play, I believe, is the NFC West. Yeah, that's what it looks like, because the Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Niners, and the Rams. Even if you were to grab one of those, that's four. Again, this is one of those teams where I feel like, yes, they can either make the playoffs or they can completely miss. The way I see this team shaking out, I think their offense is going to be good, but not good enough to win these games. Like the games that they do play are playing high-powered offenses. Dallas, Baltimore, L.A., Green Bay, San Francisco. Everybody's got a good offense, even Cleveland, you know? So for me, the Minnesota Vikings are going to regress a lot. AJ made the bold statement that they would be a top 10 draft pick next week. Next year.
Top five.
Top five draft pick next year. I'm almost on that board. I'm going to give the over-under is 8.5. I don't think they even sniff that. I think they're going to finish probably 5-12, maybe 6. You know what? I'll give them the benefit. Let's do a 6-11 for the Minnesota Vikings for me. Gooch, what say you?
I got them at 7-10. I see a lot of teams that kind of remind me of the same when I think of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm looking at the Chargers. That's a team that could go either way. They have some talent, but you don't know about them. That's a winnable game. You figure they're going to beat Detroit twice. They got the Bears. They'll split that. Carolina, I'm not sold on. Arizona, I'm not sold on. Cincinnati, I'm not sold on. So I think they could find 7 wins. Because even the games that you expect them to lose, because they're a middle-of-the-road team, they'll probably bring their A game on some of those games. I would imagine they're going to steal a tough game.
Mm.
They're not.
Maybe.
They do have talent. It would be a real shame for Dalvin Cook owners for him to be 5-12 on the season, because that means they're going to be doing a lot of losing, and the second half game scripts ain't going to pan out.
You know what I'm also,
as much as people think.
You know what I'm also noticing? Obviously, they have their bye week after their game against Carolina, but check out December 9th, right? It's a 7:20 Thursday night football game, and then they don't come back and play until Monday night football the following week, 11 days off. That is a second mini bye for the Minnesota Vikings. That is interesting. Interesting.
That's happened to the Packers a couple times.
Yeah, because boy, Thursday NFL, to Monday?
The NFL, I think what happens is, if they play a Thursday night game, they're usually coming off of short rest, so they try and give one of those teams
I guess
little bit more on the back end.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess because Thursday night just needs to go away. I understand that
there might even be
a Wednesday game.
There will be a Wednesday game before they get rid of the Thursday game.
I
and they're almost
wholeheartedly agree with you.
Will be a Friday night game.
So. I wholeheartedly agree with you because the NFL is just expanding and expanding and expanding. AJ, bro, so you're Mr. Top 5 pick. I gave him 6. He gave him 7. Where are you going?
I feel like if I said 5-12, my top 5 wouldn't come true.
Yeah, it would.
So 4-13.
I think 5-12 will get you a top 5 pick.
You think?
Yeah.
Let's think. The teams in the league right now, you got Philly, the Texans, Jaguars, Lions, and then we're looking for that fifth pick. You got Cincinnati. There's some bad teams in the NFL right now. Dallas.
5-12. They're not going to be a top 5 pick, but they're going to suck.
All right. So you got him at, I'm sorry, you said 4 wins?
I decided 5-12.
Well, look, that was a bold take. So it wasn't like you saying they're going 5-12. If they lose one more fucking game, then your bold take comes true. So it's not really.
I think, it's almost like hedging your bet.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're right.
So you're good to go.
And you could also, it's a couple days later or a week later, you could just change your mind. You didn't place the bet.
Yeah, that's true. People are allowed to do that. Yeah. you could change your mind and everything. All right, so that was the Minnesota Vikings and Detroit Lions today. We stacked them up. You know what that means, Gooch? That means on a feel-good Friday tomorrow, we will be talking Green Bay.
No, we'll be talking Chicago.
We're talking about the Bears.
Maybe we do another combo episode. I'm kidding. No,
I don't.
Chicago Bears are tomorrow.
Talk about it. I have no problem.
Good. Then you can start your week with a Monday, Green Bay Packer Monday. There you go. How about
that?
Good.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
All right, cool.
We could also do both teams tomorrow.
And just wrap up the NFC North right away?
I have no issue with
and that. Have what? The West to we do just, with four days to go? Three. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll see. Because the Bears aren't really.
It might almost be better to just to get the West out of the North out of the way, right? And then start the week Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Boom.
And then the season starts.
Yeah.
Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Crazy how we actually.
Like, we're going to really break down a team preview after the fucking team started. I know that it's only one game, but
I get what you mean.
Let's just get it the fuck
maybe we
over
can get
with.
two teams on Monday, two teams on Tuesday, and then Wednesday.
Because on Friday, do you really want to break down another preview of a team when we're talking about
What I want to do is I think I want to do this. Two teams tomorrow, two teams on Monday, two teams on Tuesday, right? That will give us the complete 32 teams in that coverage, right? And then Wednesday will be our official last records breakdown. Well, Tuesday we'll spend doing the week by week, mm-hmm. and Wednesday we'll release.
So what do you guys think? as we talk shop right
as
now.
As we brainstorm in here. There's one person listening right now. They're like, yeah, okay, they're just talking. All right. That'll be that. We'll call it a day. These guys are going to have to not really twist my arm too much to get out of the office a little earlier today because really, really nice.
You don't have to come with us.
I know. I could just sit here by myself.
But we're going to go.
Send emails. All right. With that being said, for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ over there, Bascone, Production AJ. No, I can't say that. I almost said Production AJ. Hey. Yeah, what do we got to get another moniker.
I like Big Body Bascone.
Big Body Bascon. Where'd you come up with that one?
I've always been called in rec basketball Big Body because I told people I body them.
You got to say Big Body. Just like, we just can't like, call him Big Body Bascon. It's got to be Big Body Bascon. All right,
so for Sturch and Gooch and Big Body Bascon, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow on a Feel Good Friday. Drink up, everybody.
I've been waiting all episode to talk about my fantasy team, and now that the episode's over, I finally can. So, yeah, I got Nick Chubb. I got David Montgomery.
Hit the stop button.